So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word now, let your spirit minister your truth in our hearts, that we may grow closer to Christ and encourage one another. In Jesus' name, amen. About the middle of last year, Jan received a phone call from a friend in Victoria to tell us that she was getting married. And we were really excited for this lady that she was getting married. And she kept us in the loop to what was going on. She actually brought her boyfriend up to see us if we'd give the okay for it. Anyhow, it was funny, but it was good. As COVID-19 impacted Victoria, there were some tense moments as to the number of people who could go to the wedding. The date changed. Jan was asked to pray at the wedding. So we planned to go and we started to organise a trip. You know, when do we go down to Melbourne? Where do we stay? But when the day arrived, we went to the church where the wedding took place, and it was outside with the chairs all put out away from each other to adhere to the COVID restriction plan. Last year and even this year, COVID-19 has had a great impact on all of us in many ways, even in relation to coming to church. We had, and we still have, Zoom meetings. And then we could come. But we had to obey the rules of distancing and singing. Even now, we can't sing. There was no touching. And you even had to wear masks. Church was not and is still not what we had been used to. Things had changed and we had to rethink what was going on. As Peter said once in a sermon about coming to church, we need to think of the other person by our actions in church. I don't know what you were doing when the full COVID-19 lockdown was on. My wife had this grand idea, we paint the house. And I said, give me a month off. She gave me 1 hour off and said, now, of course you've done that, you've got to do this and this and this and this. And we did a lot of chores around the house. But I also read more. And one of the books that I read challenged my attitude in coming to church. It challenged my attitude in coming to church. Why and how do you come to church? I hope we all get dressed and say we come to hear God's word and encourage one another. Do you see any connection in coming to, attending, and even leaving the church? Well, today I wish to open this topic up, and I pray God will speak to all of us and encourage all of us in our attitude in coming to church. You may do everything I said, great. Well, I'm about to say, great, okay? But I didn't. And I'm going to do this by asking seven questions. Seven questions. The first question is, what is the church? Many people see church up on the corner, that building up on the corner where people go to, or the one down the street and the people go there. Many see church as the bricks and mortar. That's what it is. They say, that is the church. And many think the church goes for 1 hour, then people walk out and rush home. That's how many people see church. But what does God say the church is? In the original Greek language, the word for church was first used in Acts chapter 5, verse 11, where ecclesia meant the gathering of God's people. Why is this important? You say, we are here and our friends are here. Well, that is true. But it is bigger than that. Let me show you. We had read to us Hebrews 10, 19, 25. And in verses 19 to 22, we read, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Back in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 18, verse 20, we have these words, for where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. So what we are told is that no matter where we are, there's two or three of us together, and we draw near to God, he is with us. But it is here I wish to make one big statement. Who is Jesus talking about? Who is God with? And relating this to the church, God says he is with all those who draw near to him with a sprinkled heart in full assurance of faith, having hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. He is with all those who have repented of their sins and surrendered their lives over to Christ, that he is their Lord and Saviour. They are God's children, his royal priesthood, his holy nation. They've been born anew into God's family as the Holy Spirit has come into their lives, guaranteeing them eternal life, as Ephesians 4:30 tells us. So let me ask you, are you in God's family? Have you repented of your sins and accepted Jesus into your life as your Lord and Saviour? That is the most important question you could be asked, or that you could ask anybody else. Are you God's child? So the church is a gathering together of God's people, and his promise is not to all people who will walk into a church, into a building that we think is a church. His promise is with those who have Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. And my prayer is all of us here today have Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. So secondly, why am I coming to church? Why do you come to church? Is it because your friends are at church? Is it because you've always done it on Sunday? It's the thing to do on Sunday that we go to church. And just think about these two answers, these two questions. Jesus is our what? Lord and Saviour. Then God is our what? Our Heavenly Father. Because we are God's children, then he expects us to be here because we belong to him. Hear what God says to us in the start of verse 25 of Hebrews 10. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Well, the verse could actually be said like this. don't give up. It's a command from God. Don't give up. Because the command comes from God to his children. And God calls us to come and sit under his word so he can build us up in our faith. And that's the other point. As Peter stands here, as Michael stands here, as I stand here, or Angelo, or whoever stands up here and preaches, I pray that we always be faithful to God's word. But always remember this, that it is the Holy Spirit's role to teach us in our hearts God's word, God's truth. It's the Holy Spirit that will sow the truth of his word into our lives. Whoever you are listening to, remember God will teach you his truths in your heart. He will speak to you the truth. Therefore, we should see we come in obedience to our Heavenly Father's wishes for us to be taught by him. And this leads to our next point. Thirdly, what happens on your way to church? What do you do on your way to church? I would hope you would pray. Pray for what? Pray for the preacher and all who are taking part in the service. Pray for other churches that God would be honoured and glorified in them as well. Pray God would speak to the hearts that are hurting and searching for the Lord. But also pray that as we belong to God, that he calls us to come, that we will honour him by our actions. Verse 24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Or as the end of verse 25 says, let us encourage one another. So in coming to church, God calls upon us to pray and ask that he might use us to encourage and spur one another on in the faith. We should have this in our mind as we come, to give him the praise that is due to his name and to encourage one another by our words and our actions. Fourthly, what happens when we walk into church? Well, as I walk into church, I generally think about two things. I'm encouraged to see who's sitting alone. And I think, could I go and sit and encourage them? I generally see people sitting there, but I know sometimes others will come and sit with them. But I'm also encouraged to see if I can speak to someone before the service starts, generally to say hello to people. And we all can do that. By doing this, we are fulfilling God's wishes for us to spur one another on in the faith. That's why in Hebrews 3:13, we're told, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You see, if we encourage one another on, we could be actually helping someone who is going through a rough patch in their lives to stay on the right path with their faith in God. As an aside to what I've just said, I need to say we all could do this if we get to church 10 to 15 minutes earlier to do that. We all should endeavour to be at church at least 5 minutes before it starts, not after it has started. And if you're involved in something, doing something, then it's generally about 30 minutes so everything can be ready and going. So fifthly, what do we do during the service? Well, God calls upon us to actively listen to his word, be involved in praying and singing. Wasn't it great on December the 13th? You could actually sing in church with Marcel. Well, okay, But, you know, when you sing, nowhere in the Bible does it say sing in tune. Do you understand that? It says make a joyful noise to the Lord. And we can't do that at the moment. It's one of the things that have impacted upon us. When I sing to praise God, he accepts it. And I'm always out of tune. You can ask Sean. But when you sing, don't just read the words and sing them. See the words and sing them from your hearts with meaning and praise to God. And when we pray, remember who the prayer is directed to. It's directed to God. So be reverent towards him when someone is praying, because that person is praying on our behalf. So when the person finishes and says amen, we should be able to say amen also if we agree with them. And as we sit and listen to the sermon and get involved by singing and prayer, we are actually encouraging one another and thus loving one another. So sixthly, what do we do when we walk out of church? When we walk out of church, we are to carry on encouraging one another, either outside or as one leaves. Sometimes people have to leave virtually straight away, and we respect that. But it's good if people can say hello before they go, just to encourage them. I don't always get out to do that, but when I can, I can. But over a cuppa, we can talk more freely. We have time to share and encourage, time to catch up and remind someone of this or that or whatever. It would be good to encourage one another by speaking how God has spoken to you during the service, from the sermon, kids' talk, prayer, songs, or however. And as we share, we are building a closer relationship between you and the other person you're talking to. And as we come out for a cuppa, look around. You may see another person standing by themselves. You may have your friends to talk to, but that other person may be new or visitor, and they're just standing there. If you see someone alone, respond in a godly way. Lovingly go over and meet that person, and then invite that person to come and meet others. Don't leave them out. I remember in Albury, this family came with a number of teenage girls. And after the service, we're in the hall, because the hall was down there, and what happened was I noticed family were over there. No one was talking to them. So I walked over to the teenagers and I said, okay, go and meet those girls. Can you go and meet the parents? And they did. And that family stayed with the church. Make them feel welcome. Incorporate them. That's what is needed. Step out of our comfort zone and encourage. And lastly, going home. When we leave to go home, do we grumble about this person or that person or the preacher or the muso or the IT guy or whatever? Do we grumble? When you leave the church to go home, we should thank God for the opportunity we had to serve him today. Thank him for the people who were there and what you have learned. Thank him for his grace towards us, that we have freedom to come to church, where in some places we can't. Thank him for continually giving us opportunities to serve him while we're here. And maybe you could invite someone home for lunch to continue to encourage them. We should see church as a blessing and look forward to it each week. So just recap the questions. What is the church? Why am I coming to church? What happens on your way to church? What happens when you walk into church? What do you do during the service? What do you do when you walk out of church? And what do you do going home? Let's ask God to fill our hearts with his grace, to encourage us in our love of Jesus. And let us pray that God may use us to be his person, that we may be used by him to build a Christian community where all regulars and visitors are welcomed. Let us pray that this church would be an encouraging church, that people would always want to come. Let us pray that the love we have for one another may filter out into the community and others may come to worship Jesus here as well. And during the week, you could phone someone to encourage them on in the faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, forgive me for the times I've not carried out what you wanted. Help us all, Lord, to be used by you for your glory here. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that this would be an encouraging church. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.